really want SDC folks to review the model because that's what they're presenting.
Sure.
First of all,
I just pinged Anatoly.
The yellow one behind is the milestone. Is we have the template that need to fit.
I'm sorry, I must miss that. So Anatoly is gonna join us, or he's busy.
Okay. That site will also be covered for them.
No, I checked with him just now. He said he won't be able to
just now.
Okay. So anyhow, I started recording, so that in case of anybody you know who is interested but cannot make it here, I will upload the recording to the wiki page so that it can be shared and reviewed later. So without any further ado, let's get started. So, are you able to see my screen now?
Yes.
Great. So first of all, this is the proposed agenda for today's meeting. And this is actually the first service modeling core for, I think, for months after our discussion back in December. So I propose that since Kevin is here, so Kevin could do a information model recap and introduce any update. And secondly, I see that there are proposals newly uploaded to the wiki page about the data modeling part. And I would like to let Chuanyu or Maopeng to introduce that to us. And thirdly, there is also a new proposal from Zhuo Yao about the one service modeling part. And this is actually the proposed agenda. So if there is any no other proposals or suggestions, shall we get started according to this proposed agenda? So I'm hearing no proposal. So Kevin, would you mind go ahead?
I can do that, or Andy, if you would prefer, that's fine too.
Yeah, I'm not on VPN right now, so it's probably better if you did it.
Okay, let me share my screen. So I believe this, let me make sure that I share the right screen here. I believe this goes all the way back to the face-to-face meeting, you know, in December of last year, where we basically had the discussion, and that's why I was asking if Andy wanted to share. I was not at the face-to-face, but basically the idea that we have a service, that service descriptor, design side on the left, runtime side on the right. So a service descriptor is made up of one or more service component descriptors. A service component descriptor is then made up of a resource descriptor. And I know there's been some question about, you know, what all should be related to what. So at the moment, we still have in the model that a service descriptor can be made up of a service descriptor, a service component descriptor can be made up of a service component descriptor. And I know there's been some question about if we need to have that much flexibility in terms of the relationships, but basically that's what we have. And then if we move from left to right, we can see that a service descriptor can be made available as a service instance with, again, the same relationship of service instances, you know, allowing for that to be composed of service instances. Similarly, at the service component instance level, that is, you know, the service component catalog item or the service component descriptor can be made available as that service component instance. And of course, that travels down into the resource layer as well. One of the things you will see on this diagram, at least, is at the resource level, this is a in terms of the resource descriptor being made available as a resource instance. Maybe this is getting outside the the focus of this meeting. I don't know, but that's a derived relationship. We have the actual relationships down at the VNF, VONFC, PNF, license, whatever. So that doesn't allow, if you make the relationship up here at the resource level, it makes for some invalid relationships down at the subclass. So this is what I think was discussed in December, and at least I wasn't aware of any major updates being made to this. So Andy, or for others who are actually in some of those meetings, any updates or comments on this?
Just a quick question, really. So you have the loops on the, for example, if I look at the service instance, right, you have a kind of loop service composed of, that's showing the relationship, right? Service instance relationship with the service composed of?
Yes, and that's part of what I was touching on. I know there's been some question about, do we want to allow this level of relationships at every level?
So I guess I don't know if Andy was in that call or not, but there is definitely different approach in the MEF side, that's for sure. But that's probably one of the big differences between two models.
Yeah, it's the composite versus component pattern. And here, so Tosca actually follows this component type pattern because you really can't say something's atomic. You never really know that something's atomic when you get down to decomposing it. So this actually makes the model a lot simpler, but it also allows it to be more mappable into Tosca type concepts.
Yeah, I wish that Joel and John would have been on the call. They have strong views. But your statement is accurate. To say whether it's atomic or not, it's difficult to decide.
I think the point. Go ahead. Andy,
from just based on my experience with this pattern that we have here and its use with Tosca, it works really well. You can use the other patterns that John proposed before. In fact, we had that conversation. But in the end, I think after trying those patterns, we reverted back to a component model here, because it was better fitted.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Alex. So we had visited this before. We got John's feedback, John Starster's feedback. We did try doing an iteration of the model using the pattern that he suggested, and it was it led to a lot of difficulty in saying when things terminate at the atomic level. So it just really wasn't very clean for us to try it. Yeah, we did try it, but it ended up not being very clean. I think the general consensus here was to follow this. Nigel, did you have a statement?
Yeah, I was going to say, are we feeding that back to MAP as a formal statement, Andy, or... The MTM reviews on, I know, at the moment. So
I've had some discussions with various people at the MEF on this topic recently.
I'm sure you have. As have I, actually.
And I'm hoping that our face to face at the end of the month, we can maybe.
I think that might be beyond the call for comment.
So that's a good point.
30th of March is the date, I think, and we may be in danger of overshooting that, you know, because the 30th of March, I think, is on, is it the Thursday or something? I don't know, that week, not anymore.
Probably as MEF members, people that are MEF companies that are MEF members probably should respond to the call for comments on the information model,
expressing
their individual views.
That's right, yeah.
I think it's probably better if it's more than just one company doing it.
Yes, agreed entirely.
So okay, I guess Andy. Two steps, right? One is certainly, I think John just put the new document just yesterday. So making comment on that, that's one. Second, there's going to be a meeting in Los Angeles or something, or ONS. I don't know if anybody is coming there, but
yeah, that's what I was just talking about, the face-to-face. And Nigel's saying it's a little too late by the time we get to that point. So CFC review, number one, I guess, providing comments on the CFC. number two, the face-to-face session, and seeing if we can come to a workable solution there. But we can't let that impede our progress at ONAP right now.
But on the other hand, Andy, you cannot create an info model that's incompatible with or that renders others incompatible. And I think we should do the effort to make this model non-exclusive to others. And if by adopting this version, because we tried it, it was difficult, is not a good enough excuse. Maybe we didn't try enough.
I think the challenge is that Tosca meta model has been around for a while, and another model has been generated that's incompatible with it. So if you take precedence, then it's not the issue with the component pan.
Well, it's not
the other way around.
Tosca is not a model.
Tosca has a meta model, and it's the meta model we're looking at. The component pattern's a meta model, the atomic composite's a meta model, and the Tosca has a meta model, which is component pattern.
This is actually the biggest misconception about Tosca, is that it's just a language to describe something. It's not. It actually has a meta model that's been around forever and goes back to the autonomic computing days when IBM published the papers. It's that way by design. My question is to the previous statement. How come we believe that using this as a foundation is going to preclude other models from being used within ONAP? I don't think that's mutually exclusive. I think
What, Alex? What other models you're talking about?
Well, I don't know. Somebody suggested that the use of this particular approach somehow precluded other models or other modeling approaches from use simultaneously. I don't really see how. I'm not sure who made that statement.
I didn't make a statement. I was suggesting, meaning, you know, I'm not a modeling expert. Maybe I'm wrong, but if the use of this this approach precludes the use of other approaches, such as the MEF approach, then I think it would be a major error on our side.
I think it's actually compatible with the MEF approach for other parts. I think we know that in a complex architecture like ONAPS, there will be different domain specific models. And for the B2B layer, we can certainly use the MEF approach. For the service orchestration layer, we can use this approach. For the resource orchestration layer, we may choose to use something completely different. I think it's perfectly fine. And as long as we can create and reconcile all the pieces together, not really sure we want, you know, we will ever find a model that has a one-size-fits-all approach.
So the semantic richness of the MEF model as far as what's defined for carrier Ethernet services is very useful, and I believe we will apply that here. It's just the pattern that we use for showing components or composite that varies. And I don't think it's a showstopper. I think it's mappable. It's just the choice that we made here to make it easier to map this into Tosca, but it also represents our philosophy that we can't say when a service component becomes atomic, right? We can't say that this component's never gonna be decomposed into subcomponents, and I think the pattern that the MEF uses forces that, and I don't think it's a good pattern for us to apply personally, but I think we can use the semantic aspects of the MEF model, and I think we all need to make CFC comments to MEF about our concerns about the patterns that are being applied in the current draft. And then maybe we can make the MEF model and other industry models at least align together in those types of concepts.
So, Andy, why ONS meeting, face-to-face meeting is too late? I think these issues we need to discuss face-to-face.
No, I'm saying we need to make the CFC comments, you know, into the MEF draft, and then we can discuss it at the face-to-face at the end of the month. So I'm not saying it's too late. I'm just saying Nigel pointed out that it's too late for us to address the issue at that point. We need to address it before, because CFC closes before that date.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Good discussion. So from the discussion, I sense the consensus is that we will use this layering model for our ONAP community design, and based on that, also trying to get aligned with other industry like specifications. And we are expecting also MEF contribution and discussion at the face-to-face at Santa Clara. Is that a correct understanding of the consensus currently?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Andy, for the presentation. So, shall we move to the second topic?
Hey, Kevin, did we want to share any complex service stuff yet, or did we want to wait on that?
Can I also ask after Kevin answers?
I'm thinking we probably need to wait on that. I think we still have some efforts there to sort out.
Okay, we should do that shortly, though.
Yeah. One other question. Are we also going to look at the how this is all related to IFA as well?
Oh, yes, we are coming to that. Mao Peng, are you online? Would you be able to share your screen and do the service component present? I'm sorry, the data modeling part.
For don't be in a hurry. If you have this teed up for later, that's fine. I'm just asking a question. Lingley. I just want to make sure we cover it at some point.
Yes, actually, we have a proposal, I think, to address that question. Because we see a network service descriptor as
yes.
defined by at CNFE as a like can be derived from the service component in this module. So I will let Mao Peng to share his proposal on this part. That is not only, I think, the data modeling part, but also the proposal contribution from the information model part.
Okay. We'll get around to it. We'll look at it.
I put the service data model in the discussion page, and there is a service model and a service component.
Now, is it just me, or is he really faint?
I can't hear either.
Can you see the screen?
We can't hear you.
It's audio. If you can get a little louder, closer to the mic, perhaps.
Actually, I hear her very well, so I don't know.
It's better? Hello? It's better the voice is.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you then.
Okay. In the service, in the service discussion page, there I put this proposal into the wiki in the discussion page, and the first is the. Model service. This is for the service, and this is for the service component. And in the service component, we propose the network service. This is reference the IFA. And this is the WAN service. It's mainly to resolve the service between the two DC. This is the three. I think there's a service and the service component is aligned with the information model we proposed. and this is the service, and this is the service node type we have the definition put here, and we have the properties, environment ID, UUID, and warrant name, designer type, category, service type, service rule. I think this is so properties align with the information model we proposed in the here, the clean page. We have talked. Yes. This also, we have those properties, right? Because the service is a node and is a template, it can be composed of service component. So in this, there is only a node here to define service. We can give an example to show how the service component to be make composed of network service and one. And this is the service component. The service component also in the data model, we define ONAP, because this is defined in the ONAP and derived from the root. And also it has the properties we define, ID, name, designer warrant, and environment ID. And the network service node derived from this service component. And the one also drive from the one also drive from the service component. So this I think is a line, there is a two service component, network service and one.
So can
it,
I ask a question, quick question?
Okay.
When we talk about the service over here, we are talking about the NSD, right? Nothing else. Am I right? In other words, we're really talking about the service chain. That's about it.
I think in release one, we don't talk about the service chain. We just also talk about the WinF and the link between the WinF that compose our network service. And the network service and no chain. I think in this version with no chain, maybe because in the information model we don't talk about it. So in the data model we also don't add it. We need the keys to add it. Okay. Maybe next.
Right. Therefore.
Yes. Release three. VNF. We can add.
Hold on. VNF plus the virtual link is a network service in your description.
Yes, it's very simple. I can show for the network service in release two, very simple. WinF 1, 2, 3, and they need a link to connect. This is a network service. It's very simple in this release to satisfy the.
Do you have a YOML class diagram and relationship diagram for the network service?
Not now, I'm afraid, but I think we could.
I think that would help. I think that would help.
Sure.
I do like the diagram you showed, the example, but the class diagram would be useful.
Thanks for suggesting that, Andy. I agree with you. That will help us quite a bit.
In the data model, I think there is a node. I also, in the service, you want a class, I add in the discussion page, but don't in the clean page. We have the class service and the service descriptor, and in the we can add the WinF and the
quick question. Just to make sure I understand, network service from this point of view maps to your service representation on the first diagram.
I have to finish the work. I can edit.
It represents to, I think, a type of service component rather than the end-to-end service. So it's
yes,
the second layer.
Yeah, I think you showed it as a service component before on the information model.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The service, the network service, they have a requirement, one link, and the one service can provide the capacity. So the network service can connect to the one service and compose all the end-to-end service. Okay.
I just want to make a comment. I know this is not maybe too important, but I know this network service concept comes from Tosca. It is problematic in my mind. It is very problematic because now the services that we have, if I just take the MEF and map it to here, I don't know how we're going to do it with these concepts, but I just want you guys to be aware of that. I know we're carrying it from Tosca, but that's what we're getting into now.
Yeah, someone they're saying this is not a service itself. This is a service component, and I think and I haven't heard Nigel chime in, but there's also TAPI concepts that could be used to represent similar things. So let's walk through this. That's why I was asking about the class model, because I think what we need to do is kind of reverse engineer this into a class model, then come up with a class model that has the right constructs on it that might be able to align TAPI and this kind of stuff together.
Well, and at the same time, I think we kind of need to look at ONAP as a situation, a standalone environment, right? And what's appropriate for the ONAP architecture and how to model things. Not about just slamming all these models together and hoping for the best.
Yeah, but there's also the concept that we have to represent the top level service model northbound, right? Because that's what external entities are requesting.
Sure.
So we're going to need some common constructs, I think, to make that useful. And that's okay. Something we really should visit. I do agree internally how we decompose and construct. That's another story. But when have we interacted with the outside world? So when we interact with other orchestrators, when we interact with BSS OSS,
and there are multiple views as well. What Maopeng is proposing here is just a deployment view.
No, we get it. Yeah.
There's an operational view that gives us interesting things. There are other views as well, and we're not showing them here.
And that's why he put it under service component, and that's where it makes sense for network service. We're not saying network service is the service. We're saying it's a component of the service that's for deployment of an intent service.
I think let's see how this is going to work. So let's just, I guess, continue and we'll see what to do with
it. Sure. Thanks, Mamet.
Yes, I continue. This data model, I think, mainly follows the information model we have discussed. If more standards come in, I think in these two, we don't have more time to discuss that. So I just introduce the data model, follow the information model. This is a network service, and this is a virtual net functions. It's also composed the network functions and the virtual link. The network functions can connect to the virtual link. In the network functions, there is a properties mainly, I think, align with the resource model, information model. We have agreed there is a identify warrant, provider, product name, software warrant, product info. This is, I think, can be checked, but I have checked with the information model, the VNFD. This is the properties, and they can provide need a requirement is a virtual link, and also the virtual link between the VF network virtual link, it is can provide the capacity that the WinF can connect with each other. For the network NS virtual link, it also provides the properties. Those properties also be defined in the, this is comply mainly reference alpha.
Where are the connection endpoints in this?
In the alpha there is no connected points. There is only WinF and link.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex. Yeah. Unfortunately, those concepts are missing in VNF. I mean, in the NFV. So.
Yeah, it seems a little weird because we would. I wonder if we want to add those in, but
so they're actually buried in some of the. I mean, I did some work with Mark Flow in Etsy, and the concepts are actually buried in other classes. So they're sort of there, but not well represented. So I think we need to try and pull them out rather than just add them, because there's some stuff in there already. They've got some layering stuff in there, for example, which sort of has a feel of being a connection endpoint without being fully it. So I think it's important we don't just add it, you know. So.
Yes, but if we want to think about the service chain or others, we can add it. But now, if for the VortiKeys, for the release to VortiKeys, we can use this this diagram to make it. Because the WinF can interpose CP, and the CP can bind to this. And the WinF, it can expose the CP, external CP in the WinF. But in the data model, we cannot see it. This is used the requirement and the capacity, right?
Right, but it is certainly beyond the CP. I really think in the cloud service architecture model, we have those connection termination points and all of them, but unfortunately, no, it's too early for me to mention it.
Yes, but it is high. In the Tosca we cannot see it. But if we have a example, we will know the CP, where is the CP, right? I can give an example. We can get the C, where is the WinF. If with the WinF, they can expose the CP, and the CP can connect to this. What's your link, right? The WinF is also a submapping. This requirement, the link two is needed by a CP inside the WinF, right? So the CP is defined in the WinF descriptor. There is also WinF package provided by the WinF vendor.
Yeah, so again, I think having UML would help here to make sure we have the proper classes represented and the proper relationship represented. Because I think it's essential. We need to make sure that this has to tie into something that's, you know, buildable, but also matchable into the VNF model at the same time.
Yeah, I think the network service virtual link, the data is very, very similar to the VNF virtual link. And I believe we should try to see if we can leverage out that node type instead of creating a new node type.
In fact, from a Tosca perspective, I wonder if semantically how we model services and how we model VNFs is very similar. So I wonder if there's even a need to, if there's a way of modeling things in a more common way rather than disparate.
So Alex, what you're saying is maybe the way we look at a VNF and the VNFCs and the internal links, maybe we should have a network represented in the same way.
Everything is a service. Everything is a service component of another service. Why don't we do the full recursion pattern all the way from top down?
Well, I think that would help, and I think having the right constructs represented would help us do that.
And yeah. I think that would address what Mehmet just said and what Tim just said as well. You know, if we model things consistently in terms of services and network functions, we would get the richness of the model that we want across the board.
Yeah, and we had Nigel present some views from ONF, and I liked that, was it that Appendix A model that you had, Nigel? Yes, that's very, very nice. And
we're talking about components and connections between them.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so the rest is contained in the attributes and the capabilities and requirements and whatnot. But
it's a matter of nailing down the constructs. If we nail down the constructs, we can recurse the constructs at every level.
Yeah, I mean, like if you look at, yeah, absolutely.
If we consider the WinF forwarding graph and flavor NS flavor in the alpha or some models, the network service and the virtual network functions, it's not very similar. But if you see the similar, because it is we not finish all the work. We just present the very simple function, you can see. But you can see the alpha or others standard, the network service and the WinF is quite different. I think mainly different is that the WinF is provided from the vendor, WinF vendor, they provide. And the network service is designed by the different WinF. And they can make the chain or do other design. And the WinF and the VDU, it is the internal designed by the vendor. I think this is two different domains. So we cannot mix them together if we want to make more flexible in the model, right?
One more thing, Mapin, on the network service level, which is what you show it there, the NFVNS, you have to take into the consideration of the virtual link. The virtual link at the time of service provider designed them may be different at the time of deployment. So we need to take into the consideration that we have to be able to do some substitutions or design in an abstract mode, a node, so that at the deploy, we can correctly substitute the right virtual link to specific deployment. From a node type, which is fine, but at the NS level, we need to take that into the considerations.
I think there is an option. If the virtual link is too complicated, maybe it needs a substitute mapping. And if it is very simple, just the link network in the OpenStack, for example, it maybe not need the substitute mapping. I think it's decided by the designer, right?
Could be. For example, if you have one region of a simple network and another region, you have a very complex network from a virtual link point of view. So you have to be able to design that topology independently in a concrete mode. But in the top level, that you have to have a way to do abstracts so that from a design time, you can successfully say that I'm designing a network service for two different regions of virtual link. Virtual link one type and virtual link two type for two different network. And that virtual link level is different topology. So in Tosca, you have to be able to do some substitutions or a way to detect different deployment scenario at the deployment time. And the orchestrator need to know that. From your virtual link, it's maybe okay. I just need to double check the construct of each of the properties. But at the network service level, we need to go back and take a look at that. Maybe I can prepare some slide to explain some case scenario where we have to take into the account next time.
That would be great.
Yes, I understand your point. I think it's an option. For example, yes, substitute mapping for the virtual link, I think it's a good function. And I also think we also need a simple node. And the substitute mapping also can be some mapping.
Maybe I can ask the group on this question. It's a two-part question, so that way I can think about what the design looked like. First question is, in ONAP release 2, there's no concept of quote-unquote network service deployment flavor. Is that correct? That mean like service, network service big, network service small, network service medium. There's no requirement or concept of that. Am I right?
Sorry, my connection is not very well. I just hear your last voice. Sorry.
Okay. My question, first part question is, in ONAP release 2, in the network service, do we have requirement or concept to support network service deployment flavor? Meaning, for example, if you want to deploy a network service that can support a small number of transactions versus big network service with a large number of transactions.
I think there is no requirement for the deploy flavor, deploy flavor in the network service in ONAP release 2.
Then the next question I have is ONAP have any requirements for supporting different network connectivity type at the deployment time? Because then my question will come back. If you say no, then I will just withdraw my previous comment that it's a hard-coded, one-time, one network topology at the virtual link level. But if an ONAP service provider said that they have different virtual link deployment scenario, then we need to take into consideration of different deployment flavor for virtual link.
Nin, can I don't want to interrupt you, but just say something quick. If you have flavors for VNF, and if you have flavors for virtual link, which I am not sure yet, then I don't know if you really need the flavors for the network service. Am I wrong?
I think the deploy flavor in the ONAP in release 2, we have agreed we just support one deploy flavor, not a multi-deploy flavor. So that is not affect the network service.
So can we just, Mehmet, I forgot your answers, but back on this discussion, can we make an assumption on a top page somewhere? The working assumption is network service a single deployment, and the virtual link is a single deployment also. Single virtual link type case. That way we can begin to build for release 2, but if we don't make those kind of basic assumptions, the discussion maybe go quite broad.
I think this network virtual link mainly is inside the DC in one cloud. Across the cloud, we use the one service to do the link between the different DC.
Yes, but I tried to explain that even when you deploy a network service with the virtual link at one cloud, one region of that cloud to another region, another cloud, that virtual link may be different because the complexity of those two cloud network is different. So you need to have different virtual link support.
Yes, I think we in the release one we do it as we extend the virtual link to different properties to do the virtual link to do different requirements for the virtual link.
I'm afraid, guys, I have to interrupt you here. How long have you been done with your presentation? Because I see we have...
Yes.
We're actually running out of time, and there's another topic waiting on the list, and I've already seen question raised about that one, the service. And thank you, Thing, for the discussion. I think from our side, from sensing side and the voting use case side, we don't see the urgent requirement for cover that deployment like flavor for virtual link. But I think we're open to that discussion and welcome your contribution, I think. We can post the question to the list and see if there's any requirement from other service providers. And you can bring your contribution, I think, next time. And it will be very welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
And so if there's no more further questions about this one. So Maopeng, could you please, provide the UML class diagram as Andy requested so that we can, have, more clear picture from the information model point of view about this design for network service descriptor. That'd be great.
Okay. I will do the UML model in the information model. Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to use Papyrus, right?
I tried use that tools. I think the wording is decided. Is the wording Papyrus wording is decided? I don't know.
We are going to use Papyrus going forward, so we might as well start with this.
Yeah, anything new we should probably just do on Papyrus. I agree.
And we've had a couple sessions starting to work the move to Papyrus issue. Just right now, calendars are pretty difficult.
Yeah, we want to get through the first milestones first, and then our objective now is to move the rest of the model into Papyrus.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm okay with this.
Thank you, guys. And Joel, are you online and ready to share a screen now? You can get started.
Yes. Thank you, Lin Li. Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Now I'm presenting the one descriptor information model proposal here. First of all, my proposal is based on the ONF called information model. In this picture, it shows the class diagram. We can see that there are several classes here, and they are all the building block for the one service. First of all, is the forwarding construct. Forwarding construct class model enable the constraint potential for the forwarding between the interface at the particular specified layer protocols. For example, in the release one multi user case, we could use the forwarding construct to describe the overlay VPN and the underlay VPN. The forwarding construct connects to the endpoints, which is described by the FC point. FC point is the short for the forwarding construct point. The association of the FC to the interface is made via the FC points. FC point class models the sex to the FC functions. The FC point could be hosted on the node. The node resource could be a site or a network element or anything else could be a host for the endpoints.
It could be a network function any other too. Node. It could be VNF as well, correct?
Yeah, yes. The forwarding construct depends on the FC route. FC route is the routing routing relationship within the FC. It includes the routing between the nodes and inside the nodes. We could see that the FC route contains the LCS, XCS, and the sub-FCS. The LCS is the link connections, which is describing the exchange relationship between the nodes. And the XC is the short for the exchange connections. It is the exchange relationship within a node, which describes how the interface within the nodes are linked. Also, we could say the sub-FCs here. The sub-FC actually is the low-level FC. FC objects support the recurse aggregation relationship, such as that the internal constructor of the FC could be exposed as the multiple lower-level FC objects. The lower level FC could be belongs to different domains, which is useful for the cross-domain FC. In other words, the lower level FC could be belong to different controllers under the controlled by the different controllers. So in these situations, we could divide the forward construct into a lower level FC. Here is the diagram which describes the general scenario of the one discriminator applications. We could see that here is the forward construct describing the one service from site to site. Here is the FC point. It is same for the assess the association between the subnets and the client end. And the exchange connections is present the exchange relationship inside nodes. And the, between the nodes is the link connections.
Does the forwarding construct really include the site and the CE, and is the FC point really on the subnet side of the CE, or are those things really on the right? On the, I would have thought the forwarding construct would have just been the middle cloud. Is that not right?
It is described the one service between the C from here to here.
But if that CE were instead of a small box, if that were a site like that has fabric, a cloud site that has fabric in it, are you considering the fabric to be part of the forwarding construct, or is the fabric another instance of a forwarding construct? I guess. Are you distinguishing the WAN from the fabric that's in a site or not? Does that question make sense?
We could describe in the multiple levels. End-to-end forwarding constructor is the from side to side. The each part of it could be a lower level for construct too. I think you may say that might be a lower level constructor which could be aggregations of the forward constructor from side to side. Is that correct?
So maybe there are five forwarding construct instances shown. There's a WAN forwarding construct for the middle, and then there are four site fabric type forwarding constructs? Is that how I'd understand this? All of which derive from the same forwarding construct model? Is that?
In the same, all the stuff is under control of the one controller. And I think we could better describe the one service in the only one forward construct object. But from different domains, or we could divide the whole things into several forward construct objects.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I was interpreting this and saying, okay, so you're assuming that these sites are all under the control of a single cloud provider and the WAN.
Yes.
The WAN and the sites are all under the control of the single cloud provider. And this isn't a, okay. I guess with that assumption, you're assuming it's all under a single controller. Okay, I'm following. All right, thank you.
But now I'm really confused. I don't know what is a link anymore. What is that link? One link looks like is an end-to-end link.
So that's the difference between the Etsy view of what a link is and the VNF descriptor and network service descriptor versus the ONF model. So this is why I think we need to align on some base construct terms, et cetera.
Yeah, this is very problematic, Andy.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything is upside down now.
We just really need to align on what the constructs are, what they represent, and have terms for them that are common instead of, you know, here's what Etsy's saying, here's what ONF is saying, here's what MEF is saying. If we can all agree as an industry what these constructs are, I think would be useful.
But you're not proposing to create a descriptor, a node that represent the entire blue picture up there, right? Are you proposing that?
I mean, we have to have a representation of what a service is, right? Now when you say the blue picture, I'm not sure what you mean. That's a topology picture. There's different views of things. So we have to have constructs that we can use to assemble a service, and they can be overlaid on a topology, and that's fine. But we also need to have, if you think about discovery, we need to be able to discover the same types of components and assemble a topology picture. Okay. And you can use common constructs for all those things. That's I think the point Alex was trying to get at before too, with if we have constructs that we can iterate through and decompose, it makes a lot of sense. But we need to use common terms.
And I think we kind of started doing that in the 5G and the VCPE case, where we were sort of trying to create little building blocks that we could reuse. And maybe we need to look at that as well in conjunction with this.
Okay, I will continue my presentation here. There are also a special resource cast not shown in the cast diagram above. That's the it is the configuration resource. As we know, the diagram about the classes we showed above is pretty abstract. We could use them to describe the any one scenario with the specified configuration, which has the specified parameter for the scenario. For example, we could use the overlay VPN configuration and FC and FC point and this stuff to describe the overlay VPN in the release one root user case. Configuration class could be derived from the configuration base class, which shows as the below diagram. The specified configuration class will be concealed by the specified directed graph in the SDNC. As we could import the configuration class in the SDC and import the directed graph in the SDNC dynamically, the new one scenario could be topped to the ONAP after the version has been released. That means the in this proposal, if there's something beyond the release one or some new scenario follow the new use case, we just import the configuration and the directed graph, and the new use case might not impact the AI assault and SDC. Here is the use case example. We took the ONAP release one multi user case as an example. The multi one contains the overlay VPN and underlay VPN. Both of them could be described as a forwarding construct. And the relationship between the overlay VPN and the underlay VPN could be described by the FC root and the link connections. Here is the diagram. We could see the overlay VPN here. It contains the FC root, and for the overlay, and then the overlay it contains the link connections, and the link connection is the depend on the underlay VPN. So in the same building block, we could use for the underlay and overlay VPN. In the release one, we couldn't do that. We used the pretty different time of the node to describe the underlay and overlay. But now we have the same descriptor to describe them.
So if you don't have a underlay VPN, I mean, you may not have an underlay VPN, you may just have an overlay VPN. How is that going to work over here?
We use the underlay configurations to attach to the forward construct. For example, you could see that here. Here is the overlay VPN for derived from the FC. But actually, there are some configurations specified to describe the overlay parameters. You could import as the configuration and attach to the overlay VPN FC. And the underlay VPN FC, attach the underlay VPN configurations, and the relationship between them and is the connect by the overlay link. We could see the overlay VPN FC depends on the overlay FC root, and the FC route has the overlay link, and the overlay link is depend on the underlay VPN. In other words, in the overlay VPN scope, the underlay VPN just looks like a link. So we could describe the relationship between them.
So make sure I'm following. So in the picture with the five clouds, there's connectivity between the two sites that have subnets shown, the lower left and the upper right. And from the overlay perspective, there is just one link between that FC point on the CE to the FC point on the far CE. But from the underlays perspective, we see all the details that are shown here, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they follow in different protocols, and they got different configurations.
And so if the corporate entity, if the service provider doesn't own the WAN, then they would just have the overlay view. And if the service provider only owned the WAN and didn't manage the CEs or know about the CEs, it would only have the underlay view.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Exactly.
And how about the how about if the WAN is owned by a different entity than the fabric at the site? What if to get from the CE to the WAN you had to go through some leaf switches and an internal data center, if you will, routing called the fabric? Would that be, that's the underlay, I'm assuming, of the cloud provider, and that would be modeled as a separate underlay where the link, it would be different underlay instances. There would be a cloud provider underlay instance on the left. There would be a WAN underlay instance in the middle. There would be a LAN underlay instance on the upper right. But the link, the overlay link, would continue across all three of those as one link or as three links?
There will be a one link presenter underlay VPN, but the underlay VPN got his underlay route. The route contains the sub FC will be contained three lower level FC, which present the underlay underlay FC from the different provider.
So there might be the need for a third layer of abstraction, because the service provider is going to want to keep track of the fact. Let's say the service provider owns no cloud and no WAN. They're going to want to keep track of the single link between the two VMs, if you will, or on far clouds. They're going to want to see that at one level of abstraction as a single link, but they're also going to want to keep track of a mapping across the three underlay clouds, where they don't see the details of the underlay. They just see that this is three different clouds we're going through, or three different networks we're going through. And then each of the underlays, each of the providers of those networks would want to see the underlay details. Does that make sense?
It does to me. especially, it could be that some of the underlay providers provides the whole thing to the service provider, but internally it actually doesn't own all the infrastructure, so they kind of subcontract this. But if not, if the provider, the service provider, has to talk to three different underlay providers, then they need this abstraction.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, you're saying the overlay is one link. That is, if they are not interested in redundancy. But maybe at the overlay they may want redundancy, then there will be two links, right?
Yes. Yeah, you could do that. We equate protection here.
Yeah.
And Joel, have you been done with your presentation? Is there anything more you would like
to? I have been done. You can share your screen.
And so I'm hearing no more questions. I think, is it safe to say that at least we have a consensus that the WAN service provider is the way that we agreed to go with modeling at least the data center connection services. But I understand that there's also some scenarios that needs to be considered, as proposed by Gil, right?
Yeah, but also I think we need to have common constructs. So I think we're heading the right way. And I think this is a good start. But I think we also need to visit the question of what the constructs really should be and what model they should be based on.
So, Andy, I was another call I couldn't join, but I have substantial reservation on this concept, Ben Lickstone. I really think we have to sit down and discuss it. I don't think I can agree any of this stuff that has been presented today.
You what? You did not agree?
No, no, not with the Van Link concept at all. I think it is problematic. So.
Okay, gotcha.
And again, you know, this is so I think we need to Langley, I think we need to have, you know, folks maybe look at this page on the wiki and provide their specific comments on it.
Yeah, that would be my suggestion too. So, Mehmet, I am actually hearing a lot of comments from you, but I'm afraid I think your connection is not stable, at least from my point. So I really do need your help in documenting your comments. It will be of great help if you can leave your comment on the wiki page, and I will be sharing the list on all the wiki page links of the today's contribution. And I would encourage all the people to have a comment and have, you know, like interesting questions or potential contributions, and also to write to me so that we can, you know, put together more discussions along the way. And I think that would be all for today's discussion. I'm sorry that we are almost 20 minutes over time, but appreciate your participation. And thank you for all the presenters, and thank you for all the people that are raising questions.
Thank you, Langley. Good meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.